In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Another earthquake has hit northern Japan near the location of the last major earthquake in 2011. This time, a 6.9 quake is nowhere near the magnitude of the 9.1 quake that produced 133-foot-high tsunami waves and killed 18,000 people. News sources are warning of a major earthquake in California along the San Andreas Fault. Thomas Jordan from the Southern California Earthquake Center says, quote, "The springs on the San Andreas system have been wound very, very tight, and the Southern San Andreas Fault in particular looks like it's locked, loaded, and ready to go," unquote. 1 Peter 1, 24-25 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Northern Ireland's Justice Minister, Claire Sugden, announced plans to pardon any and all homosexuals convicted of homosexual crime in historic record. The motion needs approval by the Legislative Assembly, an action England and Wales have already taken. Northern Ireland remains one of the few Western nations that has not sanctioned homosexual marriage. Manitoba, Canada, legalized euthanasia last June by legislative mandate, and now two Christian hospitals are opting out. The Mennonite Concordia Hospital and St. Boniface Catholic Hospital have announced they will not kill their patients. However, they will grant referrals to those who desire a doctor-assisted suicide. A district court judge in Minnesota ruled that a man's gender change surgery could be covered by Medicaid. The suit was brought by the American Civil Liberties Union for a woman who was unhappy with the way God created her. 11 states provide Medicaid coverage for transgender surgeries. Isaiah 1, 21-22 says, "How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers, your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves." Last Friday, Bloomberg reported that the U.S. divorce rate had fallen to its lowest level in more than 35 years. I talked with my father, Mike McManus, a Christian newspaper columnist who has thoroughly investigated the issue of marriage and divorce, and he rejects that conclusion.
If you look at the percentage of people who are getting divorced compared to previous years, it appears that there is an all-time low in the divorce rate. But, of course, we have had a lot fewer marriages as well. So if you look at the percentage of marriages that are ending in divorce, that number is actually rising. About 1980 was 48% of marriages ended in divorce. In 2015, there was a 53.4% divorce rate.
McManus, who also founded Marriage Savers, a ministry featured on the major network's newscasts, CBN 700 Club, The O'Reilly Factor, and Focus on the Family, told The Worldview about a rigorous premarital inventory which asks 150 questions of the man and the woman separately about communication, conflict resolution, finances, intimacy, spirituality, family of origin, and discipline of future children.
230 cities have created what we call a traditional marriage covenant. This is an agreement by the Presbyterians and Baptists and Catholics and other denominations in a city to require anyone getting married to take a serious marital inventory, 150 questions asked of the man and the woman, and have that couple meet with an older couple whose marriage has lasted for 20 or 30 or 40 years and talk through the issues that the inventory brings up. If that's done, about a fifth of the couples decide, oh, this is not the right person for me. But of those who do marry, after 20 years, we have about a 90% success rate. So it's possible to virtually divorce-proof young couples if they go through a serious marriage preparation process.
Most interestingly, an independent research group analyzed the objective results of the traditional marriage covenant in the first 118 cities where Mike and Harriet McManus implemented it.
In 2004, a study was published by the Institute for Research and Evaluation. They examined our first 118 cities where we created one of these agreements by the pastors in the city. And on average, the countywide or citywide divorce rate dropped by 17.5%. And in the 10th of these cities, it actually dropped by 50% or more. The most spectacular was El Paso, where the divorce rate plunged from 1996 to 2001 by 79.5%. And the result is El Paso has had the lowest crime rate in the United States of all major cities for the last 4 years. Why? Because so many kids were being brought up by their own married parents, and very few of them became delinquent. In a recent year, there were only 5 murders in El Paso, which is a city of 665,000 people. Detroit, which is about the same size, had 310 murders.
The Liberty Council has released its naughty and nice list for the 2016 Christmas season based on their willingness to honor Jesus Christ. Those businesses resisting the Christian theme include Dick's Sporting Goods, American Eagle Outfitters, Gap, J. Crew, Old Navy, Radio Shack, and TJ Maxx. The nice businesses are Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, Dillard's, Hobby Lobby, JCPenney, Lowe's, Macy's, Sears, and Walmart. President-elect Donald Trump has announced 3 picks for his cabinet thus far: Senator Jeff Sessions for Attorney General and Representative Mike Pompeo for CIA Director. Both candidates have a 100% pro-life voting record with national right to life. Presidential cabinet nominations do require Senate approval. Also, Trump has nominated Lieutenant General Michael Flynn for his National Security Advisor. Flynn is known for his strong rhetoric against radical Islam and his support for closer ties with Russia. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at another record high, just short of 19,000. That's a 1,000-point gain since Donald Trump's election 2 weeks ago. And that's the World View on this Tuesday, November 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, and bringing the principles of God's Word to bear. People ask me, how do we prepare our children for the decline, the socioeconomic decline, and the challenges that will face us in the future? And I think every family in America, certainly in the Western world, understands the socioeconomic implosions that are going on right now. It's not a question in anybody's mind that we're heading towards some significant problems, especially in terms of economies. And my encouragement is always, always, always to give them the book of Proverbs. Encourage them to the Proverbs Family Bible Study Guides that we produce as a ministry. Why? Because it is God's book of wisdom. If you want to live, if you want to understand how to live, God's book on life and wisdom when it comes to economies, money, relationships, epistemology, truth, ethics, et cetera, et cetera. The book of Proverbs gives us just the wisdom that God in His mercy and His grace provides for our families and our future societies. All right, well, Greece. Apparently, President Obama has just visited Greece, and he's offered some assistance, and he's telling them he's going to encourage Germany to help as well. Well, Germany said, over my dead body, not going to happen. But Greece is in trouble. Sales tax is doubling. Banks have been closed for some 3 weeks, and they've just opened, and people are managing to get $65 a day withdrawals at this point. But they're in serious, serious trouble. It turns out they've had 3 emergency bailouts, but it's just duct tape. You know, we've seen some of these riots in the streets. Yeah. We've seen that the government's going to have to shut down. Well, apparently they've received emergency bailouts over the last 2, 3, 4 years. See, it's duct tape. They've got a little bit of duct tape.
Duct tape holds the universe together. It's kind of like a force.
Has okay, well, they're just packaging tape.
It's packaging tape.
Okay. Well,
it's not even as good as duct tape.
They're just barely getting by, and apparently they're not able to get a leg up at all, so they're just kicking the can down the road in terms of this first major domino in the EU coming collapsing down. See, if they default on their loans, then what is that going to do to the major banks throughout Europe, and how is that domino going to affect America and all the world economy? Well, that's, of course, what everybody's afraid of. And so that's why somebody like Obama would go to a no-account nation like Greece and try to apply a little bit of his duct tape to hold the thing together, because if he could, you know, offer some promises, you know, maybe the nation will survive. Maybe the financial situation in the nation will survive
at least
for another 6 months.
until he gets out of office and establishes his legacy.
Well, Fox News has an interesting story about Greek debt, and this is just one illustration of it. Apparently, these local city governments have huge debts, not just the nation, but the local governments are into debt up to their eyebrows, and they've been given, in some cases, 2,129 years to repay their debts.
Yeah,
now, that's beyond the 30-year mortgage.
What's the interest on that?
Yeah.
What interest rate?
I think Jesus is coming back before that happens. One city has racked up $500 million in debt. And this city is only 50,000. This is like the size of Grand Junction.
$500 million.
Grand Junction, right over the West Slope over here in the state of Colorado. Okay, Bill, this is a tiny little city.
Yeah.
They've racked up $500 million in debt. How do you do that? You're just, you're buying donuts for the police officers every hour on the hour? Yeah. I mean, how does that work? How in the world do you rack up $500 million in debt? This particular city has been given 4,000, till the year 4,144 to become debt-free. 4,144 A.D. to be debt-free. Well, it's hard to say what's going to happen to this nation, but America's in similar trouble. Bill, do you know that? I mean, our debt to GDP ratio is continuing to rise, and I bring this back to the attention of our listening audience and have for the last 10 years or so, because our debt to GDP ratio has doubled. Our debt to GDP ratio. Now that takes into account inflation and a lot of other things, and so it's a pretty standard measurement as to the fiscal health of a nation. And it turns out our debt to GDP ratio has doubled since George W. Bush took office 16 years ago. See, George W. Bush, year 2000, our debt-to-GDP ratio was about 52%. It's now 105%. That's significant. And you know, the only major nations exceeded the United States in debt spending? Greece, Japan, Portugal, and Italy. And all four of them are in terrible condition. Absolutely terrible condition.
So no wonder Obama went over to Greece. Yeah. He wanted to get some pointers on how to fix our economy.
How do you get to the front of the line as you're waiting to withdraw $65 from your bank account so you can keep the kids alive on a couple of bags of potatoes? Okay, that's why Barack Obama was visiting Greece this last weekend. Be back in just a moment with more of the Generations Podcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. The Bible says the debtor is servant to the lender. Considers debt to be a curse on a nation per Deuteronomy 27:28. So we take the ethics of the Word of God to establish our ethics. I realize it's not John Maynard Keynes' ethics. It's not the ethics of fractional banking. But it is the ethics of God. And it seems to me that God's wisdom is even more important and more accurate than John Maynard Keynes. And the whole debted approach to the modern life. So therefore, what we say is that God has it right and Keynes has it wrong. And the American debt-to-GDP ratio is now at 105%, up from 100% just a year ago. Isn't that something?
Now, what?
It's up another 5% over just the last year.
What implication
does
this have?
And it's doubled over 16 years.
Yeah, what implication does this have for things like health care, for those who are no longer producers?
Well, okay. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. The year that the Social Security Trust Fund depletes is 2034. Now, that's varied. It started out at about 2040. It's dropping. It's down to 2034. That's the point at which the trust fund depletes to zero cash. Right now, it's at $2.8 trillion spare cash. There will be nothing left by 2034, cash-wise. The share of benefits that incoming revenue will cover at that point, they think will be about 79%. Now, they don't know for sure. They're just assuming it'll be about 79%, assuming that everybody who can work will work, et cetera, and the economy continues at the very strong place where it is today and so forth and so on. So it assumes. It assumes that the $100 trillion on unfunded liabilities, the $20 trillion of federal debt, et cetera, won't cause any trouble for us by the year 2034. Social Security Fund is friends, already talking 79% share of benefits for incoming revenues covering the needs or the promises that Social Security has laid out for Social Security benefits by the year 2034. By the way, the worker-to-retiree ratio in 1950 was 7 to 1. The worker-to-retiree ratio in 2030 will be 2.6 to 1. The difference there, of course, is a factor of 3, and we've mentioned that before. The worker-retiree ratio is 7 workers for 1 retiree in 1950. By the year 2030, it's 2.6 workers to each retiree. And do remember that the millennial generation is not exactly the most efficient and the hardest-working, most productive generation with the highest level of character in the history of this country. Not so much. Also, remember that the baby boomers, and these are the ones that are going to be retiring over the next 20, 30 years, including yourself and my wife, not so much me, I'm a Gen Xer. I just missed it by, I think, 2 years or something like that.
Yeah.
But whatever the case is, the baby boomers are in trouble, and here's why. 80 million baby boomers oversaw the abortion of about 80 million babies, reducing the worker-to-retiree ratio by 300%. So that was bad news. That was a really bad decision they came up with in 1967 in Colorado, 1973 here throughout the United States. So the 80 million baby boomers aborted 80 million babies. And so that affects, of course, not just the worker-to-retiree ratio, but also the respect for life amongst the millennial generation that's supposed to be providing for the retirees who aborted 80 million of their siblings back in the 1970s, 1980s, and 1990s. Do you follow here?
And?
This is really a bad scene, Bill. This is a really bad scene. Moreover, the debt for 67-year-olds has increased 169% in the last 12 years. So just before they retired, their debt increased 169%. It's the only demographic that's had a significant increase in debt in the last 12 years. They have 47% more mortgage debt, and they've increased their debt 169%, which should not happen for retirees who are about ready to retire. This is extremely bad news for the baby boomers, my friends. And by the way, it's interesting, the 20 to 30-year-olds – did not see their debt increase. Their debt is almost exactly the same as it was back in the 2000s.
But you know what?
However, their debt shifted from mortgages and homes to student debt.
Yeah.
So they have a lot less to show for it.
Now, you know why the retirees' debts increased? Because those students are living in the basements
of
their parents.
That's probably happening too, right? Yeah. So it's not good news, my friends. The average Social Security check is at $16,000 this year. And if you take 79% of that, that'll knock off another, say, $4,000. They'll be down to $11,000, $12,000 by the year 2034. This is all bad news, especially when you realize the average nursing home cost is anywhere between $36,000 and $72,000 per year. Well, now, so what do you do? We're gonna take a look at a LifeNews.com article. Can we do that right now? I think this would be an apropos time to bring this out.
And the reason we're going to look at it is because here in Colorado, we just passed Proposition 106, which was physician-assisted suicide.
That's right.
Physician-assisted euthanasia.
That's right.
And it was modeled off the Oregon law.
Yes.
But with fewer safeguards.
And there's six other states, I believe, and Washington, D.C. that have approved it over just the last 3 to 4 years. Now, why would they do that over the last 3 to 4 years? I wonder why they would do that. If maybe it has something to do with the worker-to-retiree ratio being one-third of what it was in 1950?
Yes.
Could it have something to do with the fact the Social Security Fund is moving this direction?
Maybe you're just a conspiracy theorist.
Well, could it have something to do with the fact that 80 million baby boomers aborted 80 million kids, and their kids are getting the idea?
Yeah. Yeah, payback.
Yeah. Well, LifeNews.com has a very interesting article, and it's so important. I want to read the entire letter. This is an email written by somebody whose aunt died by euthanasia up in British Columbia, Canada. And it's a very powerful letter, I think. And I think it's very good because it's going to explain to us the way it works, the way it will work, the way that we will see millions upon millions of baby boomers euthanized over the next 20 years. I think we're going to see it, Bill. I can't think of any other scenario outside of a reformation. I mean, a full-fledged revival reformation that sweeps across this nation and across the entire Western world, and I haven't seen even a modicum of that anytime recently. So this is the way it works, my friends. This is the way it works. This is a letter that came in to LifeNews.com. I'm going to read it verbatim. Here it goes. My aunt was just euthanized today, November 9th, 2016, by lethal injection at blank retirement home in BC. We were called to a meeting at hospice on November 7th, 2016, to be told for the first time that our aunt had requested to be euthanized. We were told it would take at least 10 days. My sister and I argued that our aunt appeared to only have a severe bladder infection. The hospice doctor said he would look into having her urine tested for this before they proceed with euthanasia. The same day, we were sent over to our aunt's apartment to witness the doctor that is going to give our aunt the lethal injection, having our aunt sign the document to give her the permission to do the euthanasia. After the doctor read out the document to my aunt, the doctor went and got a woman that works in the kitchen to initial all the questions for my aunt. The doctor brought two people to be witnesses into the room that had been witnesses for other euthanizations. When we mentioned the urine test we had asked to be done, the euthanizing doctor said it would make no difference because my aunt has already signed permission for euthanasia. The euthanizing doctor said she was going to be put a rush on the euthanasia. To my even more shock, the doctor gave my aunt the lethal injection today. It all took less than 3 days from the start to finish. The doctor did the three doctor visits to my aunt in 3 consecutive days. I'm so upset. This was so wrong. That's the way it's going to work. Does that shock you at all, Bill?
No. Despite there were supposed to be safeguards in the Canadian law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10 days. Two witnesses.
I guess this person only took 3 days.
Yeah. And so those supposed safeguards
don't amount to much.
They don't amount to much. When it comes down to the...
You're going to see railroading.
Yeah.
And you're going to see people who just are not competent to make much of a decision. You're going to see people railroaded into these decisions. And that's the way it's going to work, Bill. You know it's going to work that way. This disrespect for life is going to pass on to euthanasia, and it's just going to be, I think, pretty widespread over the next 20, 30 years.
You know what the lesson here is? Don't get a bladder infection.
Don't get anything.
Yeah.
Don't get anything.
Don't get a hangnail.
Yep. then don't get depressed. Because you know you can be euthanized for depression.
Ooh, I was getting depressed there for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I think the answer, again, our listeners are saying, okay, what's the answer? Christians will say, what's the answer?
Get louder. Get louder with truth and grace.
And get active.
Yep.
Get active.
Get louder with truth and grace.
And get ready. And be sure that you connect with ChristianFamilyElderCare.org. That's ChristianFamilyElderCare.org. It's the reason why we started this ministry. We're having a hard time keeping it going because we don't have enough volunteers to help us with this. So if there's anybody interested at all in coming behind a Christian Family Elder Care program that encourages family and church to act while governments will be destroying tens of millions of lives in the year 2030, if there's anybody who has a bit of a vision, a bit of a care for the elderly, and you want to get involved, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. We just need a little bit more help with our ChristianFamilyElderCare.org program. And, of course, if anybody wants to provide donations for this, please do. We would love to do more things. We have done one conference, and we have an MP3 that we distribute. We published some books. We intend to publish more if we can. But, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we taking it out of the hands of the state? Why are we reverting it back into Christian Family Elder Care and encouraging the church to action? Why is this important? Well, because the pro-life issue was important to Christians in the 1970s and 1980s. And now I think, you know, Christians ought to be pro-life still. Don't you think, Bill? Shouldn't you be as pro-life for the elderly as you are for babies? Wouldn't you say that Christians ought to commit as much to Christian Family Elder Care and the preservation of life for the elderly as you would for the case of babies in the womb?
Life is precious. Life is valuable.
And you know what happens? This happens all the time. An elderly person doesn't produce as much. Can't even be a Walmart greeter anymore. You know, can't even get out of bed until 11 o'clock in the morning. And shuffles around the house and doesn't produce. And begins to have health issues that become a little more expensive. And perhaps there becomes a dementia issue in which you've got to have a little bit more care going on. And after a while, it stresses the systems. And if people are self-centered and materialistic and judging everything on the basis of materialism and productivity, you know they're going to eliminate the elderly. You know they're not going to put the effort into sustaining and providing for and honoring the lives of the elderly. And, Bill, you know society is moving in that direction. And, of course, they're going to call it death with dignity. They're going to have nice little words for it as they did with abortion through the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. They're going to do the same thing for the issue of euthanasia. Therefore, I think as Christians, we need to prepare for long-term care. We need to learn how to wear comfortable shoes, which is one of the presentations on the MP3 we have produced. And we would love to do a conference for long-term needs, whether it be special needs children or elderly parents with dementia issues or what have you. We would love to do a conference called Wear Comfortable Shoes, in which we help families, equip families to long-term care. So again, these are the sorts of things that our ministry wants to do and has done for the last number of years. If there's anybody out there who's interested in Christian Family Elder Care and would like to provide some assistance to this ministry, please email me at host@kevinswanson.com. Now, Bill, can you think of any other solutions to this issue? Certainly some level of activism. I assume you voted against the assisted suicide measure on the California or Colorado ballot, as I did. But what else can Christians do?
You know, it's interesting because I had a conversation with friends of ours who had voted for it, and they were thinking from a secular mindset. And in a 5-minute conversation with them, they said, oh, I wish I had my ballot back. I just visited today with a mother of a friend of mine, one of my partners at Worldview Academy, who has been paralyzed because of an accident on a four-wheeler years ago. And because of that accident, she has health problems and she was near death. And she had refused to sign one of those you know, I can be euthanized papers. But there was pressure to put on her to agree to that. Well, she's now recovering, and she will go home soon. Christians need to be vigilant and diligent about proclaiming life and realizing that life is given by the Creator. And yes, we have pain, we have suffering in this life, but our job is not to escape that, because even through that, we are being molded into the image of Christ. We have a biblical worldview, not a Hinduistic worldview, which denies pain and suffering, saying it is illusion. It is not a hedonistic worldview, which says that our goal is just to seek pleasure. Our goal is to be molded into the image of Christ. And sometimes He uses that to mold us into His image. And we realize that we also live in a fallen world where pain and suffering exist. Mm-hmm. On the way home from Las Cruces, where I did a conference over this weekend, my wife and I were enjoying the drive, and we came up near La Vida Pass, and we hit a deer. Mm-hmm. And it took out the front end of our car.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, it's a deer, yes, but that is the world in which we live. There is death, there is pain, there is suffering. Even animals suffer because of man's rebellion. And because of man's rebellion and his desire to be autonomous, he refuses God and he denies God sovereignty.
Mm.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
We've got to restore this respect for God being sovereign. We've got to restore the respect for life as His creation to give and to take away.
Well, may I suggest several resources before we're done with this edition of the Generations Broadcast? Friends, equip yourselves, equip your churches, equip the deacons in your churches on this issue. This is really the fundamental reason for the diaconate, by the way. This is it. It's for the widows, the service of the widows. This was it. This is why the diaconate was developed in Acts 6. So it seems to me that we ought to equip our deacons in our churches, as well as our families. Anybody who's got an elderly father or mother or a grandmother or grandfather, I think we should equip every family on this issue. That's why we've published this book, Home-Based Elder Care, Stories and Strategies for Home-Based Elder Care. And also we do have the MP3 on compact disc, Christian Family Elder Care MP3, with something like 20 different presentations on elder care in the home. So these resources available at ChristianFamilyElderCare.org, a division of the Generations Ministry. Again, it's ChristianFamilyElderCare.org. And this is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.